took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, king of Gath, I guess so. You know, apparently he had been received. And remember, hospitality was a very important value in Mideastern culture, especially in those days. So apparently he had at least begun to be received, but the servants of Achish said, wait a minute, look at who this guy is. Now, if they didn't recognize him personally, they might have recognized the sword. So remember, Goliath was bigger than anybody, and he had a huge sword. So David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them, pretended madness in their hands, scratched or scribbled on the doors of the gate, and let his saliva fall down on his beard. David, the anointed king of Israel, acting like a madman. And apparently, he did a pretty good job of it. You got to watch out for these worship leader types. He did a good job. It says he convinced him. Achish said to his servants, look, you see the man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? He's pretty disgusted, isn't he? So he's totally convinced that David's crazy. Get him out of here. Now, it's very interesting. When you're going through the life of David especially, you remember that David wrote a lot of psalms. And a lot of the psalms have little inscriptions above them. We don't know for sure if they're true or not, but traditionally they've been held to be true. And two of them were written at this period of time in David's life. One of them is Psalm 56. And the inscription above it says that it was written by David when the Philistines captured him in Gath, when they captured him. In other words, David didn't just go asking for asylum or for protection. He went and they grabbed him. They captured him. And they took him before Achish. And when he goes through this psalm, he has a lot to say about what's going on in his life right now. It's interesting, both in this psalm and in Psalm 34, you see David talking about his fears. And in this psalm, he also talks about his sadness. Down in verse 8, you number my wanderings. Psalm 56, verse 8. You number my wanderings. David's wandering around now, right? He's without home. It's not safe for him to go home. You number my wanderings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? David is aware, by the time he writes this psalm, that God knows his sorrows. It wasn't just a fearful time for David, it was a sad time too. Remember, he's leaving behind his home, he's leaving behind his wife, he's leaving behind his extended family, he's leaving behind his best friend, Jonathan. He's leaving everything behind. He left with nothing but the clothes on his back. You number my tears. You put my tears in your bottle. You number my wanderings. God knows. God knows. Isn't one of the things that triggers problems in our lives the fear that nobody knows, or the belief that nobody knows what we're going through? Because to some extent, nobody else on earth can fully understand what each of us is going through. Nobody can see into our hearts. Nobody knows how much different things hurt us, different things cause us fear, different things trouble us. Nobody knows, even in the midst of a group like this, a church where we know one another, nobody even knows how lonely we feel at times. In the midst of a bunch of loving brothers and sisters, we can feel horribly lonely, can't we? And nobody knows that, except God does. God knows it all. And David, by the time he writes this, is recognizing that God knows his sorrows. He knows his loneliness. He knows his wanderings. But he also is recognizing, and this is good for us to recognize, that he was very fearful at this time. Both in this Psalm 56 and in Psalm 34, he talks about fear. In verse 3 of 56, he says, whenever I am afraid, I will what? Tell a lie to escape the trouble? I will what? Run away and hide? No. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. He talks about fear three times in this psalm and again in Psalm 34 and in a number of other psalms. I was thinking, because I'd been reading through the psalms to help with this study, and I had read the psalm from which our song came this morning, Whom Shall I Fear? Of Whom Shall I Be Afraid? And I was thinking it was one of these two psalms, but it's actually Psalm 27. David writes about fear. He learned a lot about fear through his difficulties, didn't he? And that's one of the keys that we want to take from this chapter and from these psalms, is that there's a right way to respond to fear and there's a wrong way. And the wrong way is to give in to it. Now, we're not going to be free from fear in this world. There are going to be times when we're going to face fear, and there are going to be times when we ought to be afraid. I visited the Philippines one time on a mission trip, and I was there with a friend, and we had gone to a church in the Metro Manila area, and we'd gone to a worship conference, a seminar. And when the seminar was over, the worship leader was talking with us, and he was an American missionary, and he said, "Hey, have you been to the Mega Mall? You got to go to the Mega Mall. They have this huge mall. It's like a whole city almost." And he said, "No, we haven't been, but yeah, it'd be fun." He said, "Well, I can drive you there because I'm going to meet my son there. And then, you know, you can head home from there. You can catch the bus and head home from there. Get a taxi." He said, "Get a taxi. It'd be better to get a taxi." He even told us, you know, "When you leave the mall, here's where you go to get the taxi." So we went to the mall and we hung around and we left a little early so we could get in the taxi line before it got too long. But we went out the wrong door. And there was a taxi line, and so we got in it. But when we got to the front of the line and we told people where we wanted to go, they kept saying no. So, you know, well, what's up with this? Well, that was the bypass line where the taxi drivers would come and pick you up if you were on their way home. And if you weren't, then they'd go get in the regular line. And we weren't on their way home because we were pretty much downtown Manila where you didn't want to really go at night. So we finally said, okay, we messed up here somehow. We're probably just going to have to take the bus. And when we started for the bus, we realized, oh, there's the line. And boy, was it long. He said, "Let's just take the bus. We can take the bus. The bus stops off at the rail station, and we take the rail station up, and it lets off like a block or two from our place." So, okay. So we go down there. We take the bus. It lets off. We head for the rail station. Saturday night, rail station is closed. We go, uh-oh. No taxis anywhere around. We're going to have to walk. And so we're walking down the street, kind of fast. It's not a very safe place to be walking. In fact, I told another missionary friend of mine what had happened. He said, "Oh, I'm so glad I didn't know. I'd have given you up for dead." Sometimes it's good that we don't know enough. But we just kind of walked fast. Well, we didn't realize that we weren't all that far. We were in a mission guest home. We weren't all that far from the red light district. Lots of crime. Fortunately, my friend was kind of big, and I was fast, which is kind of a good combination when you think about it selfishly, right? He might scare people away, and if he doesn't, I can probably get away, but not a good way to look at it. Anyway, there are times when fear is just, it's right. You know, we need to be fearful so that we can respond to the dangers. But always we want to call out to the Lord. Always we want to learn from fear to draw nearer to the Lord, to put our trust in Him. I remember one time, funny how these stories come to mind. I was in Washington, D.C. I was doing an internship outside of the city. And I had gone in, I think it was either a Saturday or Sunday night, and I'd gone into the museum. And I'd stayed late, and I got out in time to catch the last bus home. And I was looking at the sign for the bus routes, and they had a different route for weekdays, and they had a different route for Saturdays, and they had a different route for Sundays. And it's like, wait a minute, they're stopping at different places on this block. It's like sometimes they stop here, sometimes here, sometimes here, you know, on their way out, going... And you know how bus signs are. If you have time, you can figure them out, usually. But if you're in a hurry and you're afraid you're going to miss the last bus, you kind of take a stab at it. And guess what? My stab missed. And so I'm in downtown Washington, D.C., and here comes the bus, and I'm figuring, okay, if I'm standing here and it stops there, I might be able to get back to it, or at least I can get to the next stop before it gets there. And if it comes my way, they'll stop for me. They have to stop if I'm here. And if they stop at this one, I might have time to get back here for the last stop. Well, guess what? They didn't stop there, and they turned. And then they didn't stop there, and it's like, I'm in trouble. Well, as soon as they turn, I start running because I'm going to try and catch it at the next stop, but I'm not fast enough because it doesn't stop anywhere. And so I'm downtown in Washington, D.C. on a Saturday night and didn't exactly have a good tan. So I kind of stood out in the crowd. And I just never stopped running. It was a good thing I was young, because today I would probably die of a heart attack. But I just kept running, and, you know, you kind of pray as you run. You know, it's one of those really deep theological prayers. Lord, help. Lord, save me. And it was 8 miles to my apartment, and I didn't stop. Praise the Lord. I don't know how I did that. Except, you know, fear does tend to give you extra burst of energy at times. But anyway, there are times when we should be fear. The circumstances are fear-inducing. But the key is, how do we respond to that fear? How do we respond? David, looking back on his life, by the time that he wrote this psalm, after he's been freed now, he sees what was going on. He sees that he was giving in to fear. And instead, now he's saying, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. David is basically making a confession here, isn't he? He's saying, I wasn't trusting in you. But now, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what can flesh do to me. Well, flesh can torture you and kill you, but that's just your body, and it's not going to last anyway. And if it does last, you're going to get your own form of slow torture as you get older and older, as your body breaks down, as we're beginning to discover. What do I have to fear? What do I have to fear? We should fear the Lord. We should fear displeasing him. And in fact, back in Psalm 34, that's what he says. Fear the Lord. I will teach children to fear the Lord, is how David concludes. He recognizes that God understands. God understands his sorrow. God understands his fear. And God can be trusted with it. God can be trusted no matter how bad the circumstance is. Now, a few months ago, right after Christmas, we talked about fear, didn't we? Talked about how the fear of death brings us into bondage. And how there's multiple types of death, isn't it? It's not just physical death. David's fearing physical death here. But anytime we fear any kind of separation, death is ultimately a separation. Anytime we give in to that kind of fear, it brings us into bondage. David is a good illustration of that here in chapter 21. As he's given into fear, it's like he's losing his freedom. He can't stay with Samuel. He can't stay with Jonathan. He's afraid he's going to be killed. He can't stay at his home. He can't stay with his family. He can't even stay in the tabernacle. Fear is constricting him more and more. And where is it sending him? Closer and closer to the enemy, until he's captured by the enemy. Isn't that what fear does in our lives? It drives us away from the Lord if we give in to it. And it restricts our freedom more and more and gets us closer and closer to the enemy. And ultimately, if nothing happens, we're brought into bondage. David was captured by them. But what did he do? He cried out to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord. Let's flip back to Psalm 34 and look at a couple of verses there. I encourage you, as we study the life of David, to also read the Psalms and learn from them. There's much enrichment there for us. In Psalm 34, just skip down to verse 4. Oh, let me read you the inscription. A Psalm of David, when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. Now, you might stop there and say, Achish is not the same as Abimelech, but they are. Abimelech was a title given to a Philistine king. We see that all the way back in Genesis. It means father of a king. or the king is my father. So David pretended madness, and this is when he wrote this, or following that. In verse 4, he says, what? I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. So David, looking back on this time, sometime after he's delivered, probably not very long at all, he says, in my fears, in the midst of my fears, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me. I sought the Lord, he heard me, and he delivered me. Isn't this how we should respond when we're afraid? We should seek God. You know, fear is like, it's like surround us and cover us over. It's like it just tries to suffocate us. We have to deliberately seek the Lord at a time like that. Because otherwise, it'll just move our emotions and our thoughts, and we'll get swept away. We've got to deliberately seek the Lord. David, after being captured by the Philistines and here pretending madness, somewhere right in this time, he seeks the Lord. Don't you wonder when it was? It's like, okay, is it right before you started pretending to be mad? Is it while you're pretending to be mad? Is it right after you realize that he thinks you're mad? When did David seek the Lord? But David sought the Lord, and he heard him. And no matter what our fears are, we need to seek the Lord, and he will hear us, and he can deliver us out of them. Doesn't mean we won't ever face fear. Doesn't mean the things that we fear won't happen to us, but God will deliver us out of the fear itself. Does that make sense? It's like the circumstances that we fear can come about. They have come about for many of us. But the fear itself doesn't have to bind us. God can deliver us out of that bondage to fear as we seek him, as we seek him. David cried out to the Lord. He sought the Lord, and God delivered him. And part of the way he delivered him was by convincing Achish that David was crazy and wanting him out of it, out of here. He didn't have him committed to an asylum. He said, get him out of here. It's interesting. Tradition has that Achish's wife and son were both insane. He says, I've got enough madmen around as it is. I don't want another one. Get him out of here. And so God delivered him. They drove him away. David said this in verse 6, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Our fear should be of the Lord, of displeasing him, of facing the consequences of disobedience, not fear of man. So David cries out, and he answers him. And David shows us that we need to trust God, and he shows us the basis for our trust. Back in Psalm 56, down in verse 9. Psalm 56, verse 9. When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. What's the basis of David's faith? It's the understanding that God is for him. No matter how bad the circumstances are, no matter how right it seems to be afraid, David understands that God is for him. And so he can call out to God, and God will deliver him. He can trust in God. He can fear the Lord and no one else. When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. In God, I will praise his word. In the Lord, I will praise his word. In God, I will put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? David comes out of the position of fear into the position of faith. Isn't that what we want? Now, we need to think about this a little bit, because fear can be kind of subtle, can't it? I mean, it can just be total stark raving fear where you run for your life, or it can be very subtle where you don't even quite understand why you're doing what you're doing. You know, what is it that we fear? It's in that situation that I mentioned before where I was talking to someone, What was I afraid of? Why was I afraid to tell him the whole truth? Well, I was afraid of what he would think about me. I wasn't thinking I'm afraid, but that's what was going on, right? And doesn't that kind of thing infiltrate our thinking a lot of times? We are afraid of looking stupid to other people, aren't we? We're afraid that we'll look so stupid they'll reject us. Doesn't the fear of rejection affect us in a lot of ways? We're afraid of a lot of different things. Sometimes it's not just the physical things that we fear. It's more the emotional things. We're afraid we're going to get ridiculed. We're afraid we're going to be left alone. We're afraid that the things that we hope for are never going to come about. Sometimes we're afraid that the things that we're afraid of are going to happen, right? It's like our fear begins to multiply and bring more fear upon us because of giving into it that way. We're afraid of the things that we might lose. Sometimes we're afraid, we're just afraid that we're going to fail. We're going to step out and we're going to try to do something and we're just afraid we're going to fail. And how are we going to look if we fail? And then I think we're all at some level afraid of shame, of being shamed, of other people knowing the things about us that should never have happened, the things that we've done that we should never have done, the things that we've said that we should never have said, and they'll put us to shame. We all have a multitude of fears at various times in our lives. And so we need to learn to deal with them, don't we? And you may be in a situation now where you don't feel like there's much to fear. Life is going well. Sometimes, actually, those are times we fear more. It's like you fear the stock market falling before it falls. There's not as much to fear after it falls. But maybe you're in a situation where you don't feel like you have much in the way of fear. But if that's the case, you want to be ready for when the fear does come. And some of you, when I talk about fear, there are certain things that just jump to your mind right away. And you think, oh, man, that's what I'm afraid of. Well, we need to learn to deal with those, don't we? We need to bring them to the Lord. And one of the things we learn from the life of David here was that he wasn't ashamed to bring his fears to the Lord. Lord, I need your help. Called out to the Lord in the midst of his situation. And the Lord heard him. And the Lord delivered him. And he could trust in the Lord. What causes us to fear? If we are not abiding in the presence of the Lord, fear is going to do us harm. Fear is going to do us harm. Well, Achish drives David away. And we'll stop at verse 1 of chapter 22. It says, David therefore departed from them, from there, and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And next week we'll pick up, Lord willing, in the chapter 22 here, and talk about what happens next in David's life. But this is all part of God's plan for David. God is showing David that no matter how bad the circumstances look, God's still there. God's still working. God can still provide for David. God can still protect David. God can still deliver David. God is getting David ready for what's coming, to be the king. And God wants David to trust in him no matter what. And you know what? None of us are going to be kings, but God is working to prepare us all for what's coming. And it's crucial for us to come to the place of being able to trust him no matter what. Trust him no matter what. God wants that. God deserves that in our lives. God is a God of deliverance. He may not deliver us out of every trial, but he'll be with us in it, and he'll deliver us through it. Sooner or later, he'll bring us through it. We can trust in him because he's good and he's for us. Shall we pray?